we're going to look at some prophecies that seem to point to things in our time. And I thought tonight we'd start with the one in Ezekiel 20. Begin reading at verse 33. And we'll read down through verse 44. Mike, if you just start, we'll go right around and read a verse apiece here, and then we'll take a look at it.
As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out, will I rule over you.
And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the country, wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out.
And I will bring you into the wilderness of sheep. And there will I plead with you, both the same.
Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the valley of bonds of the covenant.
And I will purge out from among you the rebels, them that transgress against me. I'll bring you forth out of the country where they sojourn. And they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah.
As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go ye, serve ye every one his idol, and he answer also, if you will not hearken to me, but lift ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols.
And in my holy mountain, ye have made a house of Israel. I will accept you with your sweet favor when I bring you up from the people and gather you out of country where you are and scatter you.
And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers.
And there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed.
And you shall know that I am Jehovah when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings. O ye house of Israel, says the Lord God.
This is your temple.
And we're looking at verse 33 through verse 44. Ezekiel.
Yes,
Ezekiel,
yes.
Back in the Old Testament.
Ezekiel.
33, 2033, that's where we're starting. I think you can see that this certainly has reference to a regathering of Israel, but it's the process. I want you to notice that certainly it seems that might be certainly applying to this time, in particular to this generation, because in our lifetime we've seen God start to move to regather his people. And as verse 33 is noted, it's with a fury poured out. You notice that? And in Germany and in Russia, both cases, they've been under the lights there. But it also tells you something when you read the fact that it hasn't happened everywhere yet, has it? So if you read between the lines there, you can readily see, I think, that God is going to do some more purging amongst his people. And then as it brings, as it gets toward the conclusion, it says that verse 35, And verse 237, rather 38, down to 38. There's going to be a lot of purging, and he's going to plead with the people face to face like he pled with them in the wilderness. Now, how did he plead with them in the wilderness face to face? Well, that his presence was there, but there was no pleading on that basis. How did he plead with them? Through Moses, that's right. Well, I recognize it, but the human instrument was Moses. Now, in the light of that fact, and since we know that Scripture tells us that Elijah's purpose is to turn the hearts of the fathers to children, the hearts of the children to fathers, and to restore all things to Israel. Now, we know that from other Scriptures, don't we? So, it tells us at least two things here, three things, that the return of Israel is the process of purging under the furious wrath of God. Not a pleasant thing, but a purging. And I think we've seen that begin to happen, and it happened in Germany, it's happened in Russia, and I think before it's over with, we're going to see signs of it in this country and with the rest of Europe, too. You're going to see it. There's going to be a purging now. That's right. And then in the purging, one is going to be there where God can talk to his people through an intercessor, and I believe that is going to be Elijah. I think that's right.
And when it says in verse 35, I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, where is that?
That will be of his people. That's a wilderness where others are not. In other words, he's not going to be talking to other people. He's going to be talking to his people. Well, no, not necessarily. It isn't in a location. It's just the people himself. Wilderness is where nobody else is except you. In other words, just like in
private
conference, just like he did with in the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt.
But there will be in the wilderness.
With the wilderness of the people. In other words, he won't be dealing with other people, he'll be dealing with them. Now, in connection with that, notice.
Not a wilderness of land.
No, the wilderness of the people. They'll be completely cut off from other people because it's going to be done under his wrath. See? Look at the last chapter, too, while we're on that, of Micah.
Place
here? Yeah, oh yeah, keep the place here. Last chapter of Micah. The seventh chapter, last chapter of Micah. Verse 14. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of your inheritance, which dwell solitary living in the wood in the midst of Carmel, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. Now notice, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nations shall see it and be confounded with all their might. So, how many years was it coming out of?
40.
40 years. And how long has Israel been under the lash now of the real persecution in our time?
Since 1948.
So about 32 years. And yet there's been no real persecution in this country yet. And of course Elijah has not come yet. I mean, these are just some little hints that are nothing dogmatic here, but I think you can begin to see the possibility of what these scriptures are telling. And it's not going to be done in an easy way, but in a both Micah and here too. Notice it's both under the rod. take place. Now, while we're anything else there that catches your eye that well, it's still it's 40 years of testing. That's right. Well, that look at it from the old line of thinking, but that doesn't leave any place for Elijah to come into picture, see, so you have to rule that out. Well, that's in the day of the Lord, isn't it? Before the day of the Lord. So you have to weigh all the facts, not just some of them. But the regathering, you can see, is not one of pleasant regathering. It's one of under the lash.
They've had no peace at all since they started on the
Lord. They've had nothing before. That's right. And notice that passage a while ago in Micah. It says the nations will be confounded because of the might, fear of the people.
Yeah, that's verse 16 and the rest of that. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. I can see the nations doing that as they look at
one.
But their ears shall be deaf.
And there is that, the nation.
The nation.
Uh-huh. Their ears shall be deaf, and they're not helping.
That means they don't know what's going on.
They don't understand. It's confusing. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear. They can see, but they don't want to hear.
It find Israel come back and ask them.
But you can see that there are a few little hints and things. And I turn to Ezekiel 34. Again, Ezekiel picks up the theme. Much of Ezekiel has to do with the time in which Ezekiel lived, but these things here we're talking about are definitely future things, not something that was going to happen now. We can begin reading at verse 7. And notice who God is blaming here, too, a lot of it. Therefore, you shepherds, that's the ones who should be looking after, hear the word of Jehovah. As I live, saith Jehovah God, surely because my flock became a prey, my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock. The shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Go ahead, somebody pick that up and read. Verse 10. Verse 9, I'm sorry.
Therefore,
go right ahead.
Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them.
For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out.
As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered from the cattle and dogs.
It's a bright in the dark day. Go ahead.
And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the country, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the river and in all the inhabited places of the country.
I will feed you in a good pasture upon high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel.
I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God.
There again is the wrath that is coming. Go ahead.
Behold, I will be through the land and the people.
Then if they were small land to you, so much they might be great country. But you must spread down with your feet so that you can live with your country. And they are drunk of the deep water. So you must bow the way through the people.
And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet.
Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle.
Because you have thrust his thigh in his shoulder and pushed all the disease with your hand, so you have scattered them abroad.
Therefore will I save my flock. They shall no more be afraid. I will judge between cattle and cattle.
And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd.
I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Before you read on, turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. Begin reading verse 3. Pick up right there, Mr.
See whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into powder.
Alas, but that day is great, so that none is like it, for it is even the time of Jacob's trouble.
Notice, Jacob, not Israel, Jacob.
But he shall be saved out of it.
That's the natural seed, see.
For it will come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves again. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up on the camp.
Think about that. Who's he going to raise up?
David.
I've come back now to Ezekiel. You see, this is not from linen.
Which chapter is Ezekiel?
We're back in 34, where we were.
Okay.
Right where we left off.
Not from linen?
No, David is not.
Well, it wasn't from linen, but it says it's from Haman, Jacob.
Yeah, well, that's what we're reading about. Well, in the past, they've all associated that with the Great Tribulation. But notice all these passages. It'll be gathered back under the fury of God. And there'll be, the gathering is to be over a period of 40 years. Remember, we read that already? Not only that, but the nations will be frustrated, confused by what's happening. We read that too. And it'll be a time in which, the shepherds who've been taking care of Israel, because they haven't done a good job. They're just doing it for their own political power and benefit, and you see that too on every hand. And now God said, I'm going to bring you face to face with me in the wilderness. Just like he did under Moses, you see. And since we know that the scripture tells us that Elijah is going to turn the heart, notice he's going to turn the heart of the father's children. All the children of the fathers, and Jesus said he's going to restore all things. You can see, I believe, that that he would be the instrument that turned the heart, and then he's going to set up a shepherd over him. And he was that shepherd. No, David.
David.
Now notice, in Jeremiah, he said, I'll raise him up. He's got to be raised. He's never been raised from the dead.
So he'll be raised up in what, second half of the tribulation?
No. We're not talking about the tribulation. I don't get that mixed up. We're not talking about it. It's not, David is not ruling in the millennial kingdom.
Oh,
that's right. We're talking about
eternal.
He,
it's after. Mm-hmm.
David, we're talking about something that's in our time. See, for instance, let's start this period where we really begin. When Israel settled in Palestine under the Balfour Declaration, how many Germans went back?
German Jews.
How many of them went back after Hitler got through with
it? A lot. Mm-hmm. Then they couldn't get back.
And Russia. Now, how many of them are trying to get out of there?
They're
letting out some, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. There are a few.
But they're under what? They're under the light, aren't they?
Right.
But it also tells you that all the nations where Israel dwells, you're going to have some of that there too. Notice it's building right now.
There have been people from this country that have been moved over there, but very few.
Very few, that's right. And I think the reason for that is because God has saved this for last, because there had to be some finance to get those people over there. I mean, this is rationalizing, of course. But what I want you to see, now in this time, another interesting fact too. Go ahead and break up your horse.
Well, I still haven't figured out where David's going to come in. We're in time.
Well, he will come when he has...
When all things are restored,
then he'll be the shepherd that will be set up. He'll be a pope. Sort of like the Pope in Rome.
It'll
be a real one, you know, not just a phony one. But now, notice, go ahead and pick up there with verse 23 and 24. This isn't any dogmatic, but I just want you to see these fragmentary truths that begin to harmonize.
And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them even. My servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall feed their shepherd. He shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Okay, go ahead now.
And the three of the things that you have seen, and those that you have been seen, they shall be first in the land, and shall know that I am the Lord, and I have broken the bands of the earth, and broke them out of the hand of those that serve themselves by.
And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell safely, and men shall make them safe.
And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen in the land.
Think about that. Think about what it's saying.
Manna from heaven?
Huh?
It's
fine.
That's
right. No, that has to do with hunger.
Manna from heaven?
That's something that
guys.
It'll solve any food problems they got.
You know, well, I was thinking about the oranges, the initial.
Well, that they can't live on oranges, Mama.
Got a lot of vitamin C.
Yeah, Lisa can live on oranges.
Notice that, he's raiding them up a plant if we're down. That's something that
hasn't been.
That isn't yet.
It, you know what's strange? Anything we plant over it grows.
Well, it does now, but it didn't, not just too many years
only
back.
Only when the Jews came over there, and they were not farmers, but they learned how, and everything they grow, I mean, grows by leaps and bounds. All the fruits and the figs and the olives.
You'll notice all this is leading to a time when they will be dwelling safely, see, which they're not.
But there aren't any mean beasts in Israel now. I mean, as far as you thinking of four-legged beasts.
Yeah, there are a lot of beasts.
You're thinking of two-legged ones.
That's right.
Well, but if you're going to make the plant,
well, I'm not making anything. That's your problem, not mine.
Then the beasts have to be regular and normal beasts if you're going to have plants normal.
Beasts are not evil, Mama.
We do the tiger
alone, or we do alone. They're not evil. Nothing evil about beasts.
I didn't say they were evil. I said, neither shall the beast of the land.
No, I didn't say that. I will make them a covenant of peace and cause the evil beast to cease.
Look at verse 28.
Is he speaking of two-legged or four-legged?
Huh? 28 just says, the beast of the land. Neither shall the beast of the land devour them.
Well, now that's maybe a real thing, but he's talking down here about evil beasts.
What verse is that?
Verse 25.
Yeah, but is he still talking
about
four-legged or
two-legged? Well, I don't know. I'll wait until that happens. We're looking at some fragmentary truth now. We're not trying to be dogmatic.
Well, and he said they shall sleep in the woods. He would think that would mean
that. Means it would be, that would be safe to sleep where that's going.
You're right, it's not safe there now to sleep in the woods. You're right.
It's interesting to me, too, that the food provision is so real there.
They're going to have eggplant just for you and I.
That don't say.
Well, my Bible refers back to Leviticus 26, which is the first. And I will give peace in the land. You shall lie down and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land.
Well, we won't know until the thing happens.
You don't have more years to go.
But notice, the point of it is, though, look at verse 30 now. Where did you leave off, John?
Thus shall they know that I am Jehovah their God, that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, the Lord God. And ye my flock of my pastures are men, and I am your God, the Lord Jehovah.
Now, notice that they're referring to the beasts here, the people of sheep, a flock of sheep. Well, I think it's strange then to call evil beasts something else. Evil beasts are what destroy the sheep, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing is, in chapter 36 picks up the same theme that we're talking about. But chapter 35 is a parenthesis that deals with something that will be prevalent at the time, too, but it isn't dealing with Israel, it's dealing with somebody else.